Should female preachers go home? That is a topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through repenting of their sin and putting their faith in who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, and what he did for us on the cross. I'm David Wheaton, the host of the program, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, thank you for joining us this morning as we discuss, should female preachers go home? And you're going to find out why I use that expression in the preview and throughout the program today. Now, the popular Christian website, gotquestions.org, we sometimes refer to it here on the program, has answered 588,885 questions related to the Bible. That's a lot of questions. Now, of those hundreds of thousands of questions, what do you think the most asked question is, the number one most asked question is? If you said, what does the Bible say about women pastors? You would be correct. Now just think about that for a moment. Of all the questions, hundreds of thousands of questions that come in related to the Bible and religion and all the different things on that website, what the Bible says about female pastors is the number one question. So why is that? Why is there so much even division within the evangelical church about this issue when the Bible clearly states, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, 1 Timothy 2:12. And why is this even an important issue? Aren't there bigger fish to fry than talking about whether women should be pastors and elders and teachers? Now, perhaps the two most well-known evangelicals on either side of this issue are popular teacher Beth Moore. She's in favor of women preaching to men. And Pastor John MacArthur. He's against women preaching to men. Now, recently, MacArthur was asked about Beth Moore, and his response was that she should, quote, go home. And we'll play the full audio today so you get context of the question and what was said. So today in the program, we're going to discuss one of the most hotly debated issues in the evangelical church today. So I hope you can stay with us for the full hour today here on the Christian Worldview radio program. Now, let me get back to those Got Questions top 10 list. Again, 588,000 questions over that, nearly 589,000 questions answered. I'm going to give you just the top 10 in reverse, starting with number 10, most asked question, what happens after death? That's a very good question. It's a very relevant question. Perhaps that should be number one, but that is number 10. The ninth most asked question is, do pets or animals go to heaven? Do pets or animals have souls? That's the ninth question. Well, if they want to read My Boy Ben, I don't get into that totally in the book, but that is addressed in My Boy Ben. But that's a popular question that people want to find out about. Number eight, most popular question, what is the Christian view of suicide? What about a believer who commits suicide? Good question. Number seven, who was Cain's wife? If you just started from two people, Adam and Eve, well, where did Cain marry his sister? How did that work? That's a popular question. Number six, what does the Bible say about interracial marriage? Number five, is masturbation a sin according to the Bible? Number four, this is a very common question. Is eternal security biblical, or can a Christian lose their salvation? That's a very common, important question. Number three, this one's kind of surprising. It's number three. What does the Bible say about tattoos? Number two, now you're probably not going to be surprised at this one. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? Is it a sin? Of course, that's a gigantic issue in our society today. And number one, of 589,000 questions answered, the most common one they receive is, what does the Bible say about women pastors? So why is this? Why is what does the Bible say about women pastors? Why is that the most asked questions? Because aside from those who are theologically liberal, the interpretation of Scripture that only men are to be in leadership in the church and the home, that has been held almost universally in the church the last 2,000 years. And I'm talking the very broadest definition of the Christian church, from the Roman Catholic Church to the time of the Reformation with Luther and Calvin and Knox, and Protestant denominations have held this, and of course, evangelicals, since the evangelical movement, let's say, became sort of an official movement. When was that? Maybe back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere in there. That has been an unquestioned interpretation of Scripture, that only men are to be elders and pastors and preachers in churches. Now, the liberal Protestant denominations, the mainline denominations, compromised on this issue many decades ago. But now, all of a sudden, in 2019, evangelicals, many of them at least, seem to have concluded that, you know, everyone before us for the last 2,000 years wasn't really getting this right. They're getting it wrong. Women can be pastors and elders and teachers, and you're seeing this become more and more popular within the evangelical church. So why is there such a push for this today? I think there are at least two reasons for it. One reason is current and cultural, and one reason is historical. The historical reason is, number one, is that the nature of woman since the fall of man, back in the time of Adam and Eve, right there in Genesis 3, the nature of a woman, the Bible says, God says, actually God speaks directly here, is to rule over man. Genesis 3:16, after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, of course, Eve was tempted. She ate the fruit and gave some to her husband, disobeying God. The first sin corrupted God's perfect creation. God meted out judgment first to Satan and then to the woman. He speaks and says in Genesis 3:16, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. Of course, that's a universally accepted truth. That is the case. That's what they call it, labor. But then look at this phrase at the end. So two things here, pain and childbirth. And here's the second thing. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Here it is, conflict in the marital covenant here. Your desire will be for your husband. You're going to want to rule. In your fallen nature, women, you're going to want to rule over your husband. You're going to want to be the one in control, and yet he will rule over you. In other words, there'd be a temptation for a man to be domineering. There's a conflict. There's a power struggle within marriage. It goes right back to the very beginning of time, this issue of women preaching to men, ruling over men in the setting of the church and the home. That's the historical reason. But there's also a cultural reason now today. Second reason is there's just a strong influence of our humanistic culture on the evangelical church. It is totally non-politically correct to say that only men should be pastors and preachers in the church. I mean, this is a complete affront to the Me Too movement. It's seen as the patriarchy, kill the patriarchy, they say today, where men have headship in the home and the church. And so those two reasons, historical reason from the very first chapters of Genesis and the influence of the humanistic culture, the secularizing culture, we'll see this as just foolishness. That's why there is such a push for this today. But how about some facts on the issue? From Scripture, all 12 disciples of Christ were men. Yes, he had female followers, but not disciples or preachers in the time of Christ. Every single writer of the Bible was a man. Every single prophet and judge in the Old Testament was a man, except for one, Deborah, who was a judge, not necessarily a preacher, but a judge over Israel. In the New Testament, every qualification for an elder in the church, for a pastor who's going to be preaching the word of God, is for a man. God ordained headship or authority for a man over a woman in two places, in the home and in the church. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. The context of this is Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a younger pastor. He's establishing churches. The elder Paul is writing to him to try to teach him how to order the churches so they're in line with what God wants. And he says in 1 Timothy 2, Paul writing to Timothy, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. This is in the context of the church again. For it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. And so for those who would say, well, this is a cultural thing of that day, it's not cultural. Paul immediately takes it right back to where we went in the beginning of the program today, right back to Genesis. For it was Adam who first was created than Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Not a cultural thing of Paul's day. Takes it right back to that Genesis 3 in the fall of man, that a woman is not to exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet or to teach, it says there. So again, clear statement, not cultural, goes back to creation. Women should not hold headship, leadership over men in the church and the home. Different in maybe the marketplace, the government, so forth, but in the church and the home, that's what the Bible says. Now, those who challenge this will point to examples like, what about Miriam and Deborah and Huldah in the Old Testament? What about Priscilla and Phoebe in the New Testament? Let me just read what got questions, and you can go there and read this yourself. This, again, this is the number one most asked question. They said about the exception, so to speak, it is true that these women were chosen by God for special service to him and that they stand as models of faith, courage, and yes, leadership. However, the authority of women in the Old Testament is not relevant to the issue of pastors in the church. The New Testament epistles present a new paradigm for God's people, the church, which is the body of Christ. And that paradigm involves an authority structure unique to the church. And it's not for the nation of Israel or any other Old Testament entity. So basically what they're saying is, yeah, there were some, very few, it was an exception in the Old Testament for to have women in leadership, but it wasn't ecclesiastical church leadership. Deborah, again, was a judge. It wasn't a preaching, pastoring, prophetic role, as you saw prophets in the Old Testament or pastors and preachers and elders in the New Testament. Goes on to talk about Priscilla and Phoebe in the New Testament. In Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila are presented as faithful ministers for Christ. Did Priscilla and her husband teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to Apollos? Yes. Yet, yes, it was in their home. They explained to him the way of God more adequately. Does the Bible ever say that Priscilla pastored a church or taught publicly or became the spiritual leader of a congregation of saints? It doesn't. And there's more. We'll come back and get some more basis for why the Bible teaches what it does, why God inspired the scripture writers to write what they did about the order of authority in the church and the home. That's next here on the Christian Realview as we continue discussing, should female preachers go home?
There's an abundance of resources available in Christian bookstores and online, but the sad reality is that many of them, even some of the most popular, do not lead to a sound and strong faith. A key aim of the Christian Worldview is to identify and offer resources that are biblically faithful and deepen your walk with God. In our online store, we have a wide range of resources for all ages, adult and children's books and DVDs, Bibles and devotionals, unique gifts, and more. So browse our store at thechristianworldview.org and find enriching resources for yourself, family, friends, small group, or church. You can also order by calling our office toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beissner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice: How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Well, thanks for joining us today here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host. Our website is thechristianworldview.org. Always encourage you to go there to get connected with the program. The best way to do that is just to subscribe to our free weekly email or our annual print newsletter, which is going to be coming out in about a month or so. You can get audio of all our past programs, including this one, and order resources, and you can support the ministry of the Christian Worldview there at the website as well. Today in the program, we're talking about the hot topic of should female preachers, quote, go home? That was a comment by John MacArthur regarding Beth Moore recently at a conference. We're going to get more into that and play the audio of that today. But we wanted to lay some groundwork before we do about what has been the historical orthodox teaching from Scripture on this particular issue. And before the break, we talked about some exceptions from the Old Testament, and sometimes people claim Priscilla and Phoebe in the New Testament and so forth, and read something from gotquestions.org with regard to those things. But again, more basis for this particular issue that men should be have headship leadership in the church and the home. And that's not something that just kind of a good old boys club is just making up. I read the passage in 1 Timothy 2:11 that I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Read that passage, 1 Timothy 3, again, Paul writing to Timothy. It is a trustworthy statement. This is a qualification for elders, leaders in the church. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. There's an important one, by the way, not addicted to wine, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? It goes on to say, not a new convert and so forth. Titus 1:5, Paul writing to another younger pastor, Titus, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders of the church in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Again, this is a clear, clear teaching of Scripture. You have to completely disregard the historical orthodox interpretation of Scripture over the last 2,000 years since the New Testament was written to come up with a different interpretation that women should be preachers over men in churches or elders have leadership over men in the church and the home. Finally, let me just give one final quote from that Got Questions article. Again, the number one most asked question. They say this, to conclude, it is very important to not see this issue as men versus women. This is not an issue of chauvinism or discrimination. It is an issue of biblical interpretation. Period. Amen to that. Not an issue of value or worth in God's eyes or in our eyes. It has nothing to do with that. It has fully to do with biblical interpretation and the roles that God designed, established for men and women, in both in the home and in the church. So now enter John MacArthur and Beth Moore into this issue. Who are they? Who are John MacArthur and Beth Moore? In case you don't know them or follow them, just let me get a little bit of background on who they are. John MacArthur is probably, I think arguably, the most prominent conservative theologically biblical teacher of the last 30 to 40 years worldwide. There's been lots of other, you could say Billy Graham and so forth, but I wouldn't probably categorize Billy Graham or Rick Warren or Bill Hybels, certainly not in the kind of the theologically conservative, reformed category as John MacArthur. I'd say he's probably been the most influential, has a radio program, goes all over the world, grace to you. He believes in the literal, grammatical, historical interpretation of Scripture. That's where he gets the basis for how he interprets these passages on male headship in the church and the home. He teaches the orthodox historical interpretation that only men are to have headship and leadership in the church and the home. That's John MacArthur. Who is Beth Moore? Beth Moore, this is according to Wikipedia, their bio there. She's the founder of Living Proof Ministries. I believe she's in her early 60s. John MacArthur is 80 years old. Living Proof is a Bible-based organization for women based in Houston, Texas. The ministry focuses on aiding women who desire to model their lives on evangelical Christian principles. The ministry, in conjunction with Lifeway bookstores or Christian resources, conducts more than a dozen conferences known as Living Proof Live around the U.S. She teaches through her radio show, Living Proof with Beth Moore. She writes books and produces video resources, and she teaches at conferences all over the world and all throughout America. She's an extremely popular Bible teacher, especially to women. She once just preached to women, but starting this year, that has started to change. We'll get into that in just a second. She has extremely large following, influential. She has nearly a million Twitter followers, and she is an extensive tweeter. I went to her Twitter feed. She tweets many times a day, and so she has a very large following. Now, what happened to this change? She once just preached to women, and now she's starting to preach selectively. Won't exaggerate this, but it's started to take place. From the Baptist Standard publication, Moore, who is 61 and lives in Houston, has for years towed the line with Southern Baptist orthodoxy. She's Southern Baptist. Carefully balancing your teaching role with the demands of Christian femininity as defined by evangelicals. But the election of Donald Trump in 2016 and the pre-election debate over the now infamous Access Hollywood tape, in which Trump boasted about groping women's genitals, appeared to break something in Beth Moore, especially after numerous Christian leaders appeared to condone the behavior as, quote, just locker room talk. Moore, who is a survivor of sex abuse, tweeted recently that 2016 was a turning point after suggesting on Twitter that she was spending Mother's Day preaching at a church, though she did not use the word preaching, a crowd of prominent Southern Baptist men charged after her on social media. She did preach, or she might, as she said, teach at Transformation Church, a non-denominational megachurch outside Charlotte on June 2nd. Quote, we had no idea that there was some kind of controversy brewing, said Pastor Derwin Gray. Quote, I'd been trying to get Beth Moore to speak for years, and her schedule finally opened up. Articles goes on to say, regardless, no one would deny Moore has preached before mixed audiences of men and women. And that has become a mounting concern among some, notably male Southern Baptist Convention leaders, who say it's okay for women to preach to women, but not to men. After the uproar or over her Mother's Day church preaching appearance, she tweeted, quote, troubled brothers, try to relax. I do not see a female takeover on the horizon. Have some herbal tea, unquote. That was a tweet by Beth Moore. She is a prolific tweeter, as I mentioned. She's called herself a, quote, soft complementarian. She has pointed out that the Baptist faith and message says the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture, a view she said she agrees with. That doctrinal statement is silent, though, on the question of women preaching. Complementarianism versus egalitarianism, basically the difference between that is complementarianism is the view that MacArthur holds, that basically the Bible teaches that, as we've been talking about, that Men and women are equal in God's eyes. They're complementary, but they have different roles. And the role for a man in church and home is to have headship. And egalitarianism, on the other hand, is the opposite view, that men and women are equal and have equal roles in the home and in the church as well. So therefore, if a wife is head of the home, that's fine. If a woman wants to be a preacher to men in the church, that's fine. Those are the difference. So Moore calls herself a soft complementarian. That's sort of saying, I'm a complementarian with exceptions. Some of the other things Beth Moore is known for is claiming direct revelation from God. In her books, she has said, before God tells me a secret, he knows up front I'm going to tell it. By and large, that's our deal. Another quote from her book, I didn't ask to write some of the kinds of messages God has appointed me. In her book, Praying God's Word, she said, God directed me to address the powerful yoke of sexual bondage. She also said, what God began to say to me about 5 years ago, and I'm telling you, is in me. God began to say to me, I'm going to say something right now, Beth, and boy, you write this one down, and you may say it as often as I give you utterance to save it. Again, she's claiming direct revelation. She has a direct hearing directly from God in a voice. When I get a key word, she writes, when the Lord gives me concept, that is a word. I mean, he dropped this word into my heart a couple weeks ago and began to associate it into prayer. And I mean, when I get a word like this, he drops it in my spirit. I wait to see what city I'll be connected with. And I look up the word into a concordance and see all the times it's used in scripture. Okay. Another thing she's become known for is changing her most recent or very popular book, Praying God's Word Again, in her stance on homosexuality. There was about 12 pages or so in that book where she took a very, I think, accurate interpretation of scripture with regard to homosexuality. And when the book came time to reprinting of it or whatever recently, she decided to change her stance on homosexuality, saying it was not a fast decision. I took several years to contemplate what to do about it as I watched the damage it caused. It's an old book, but still widely used. It was not my intention, but I made people feel demonized. I overshot scripture by a mile. And also, Beth Moore has been rumored to be potentially a candidate for the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Okay, with all that as a background, in the next segment, we're going to get into the audio from the Truth Matters Conference, where when John MacArthur was asked about Beth Moore, he said, among other things, she should, quote, go home. That audio next here on the Christian Realview. The prosperity gospel is a prominent false gospel that God offers health, wealth, and prosperity if you just have faith and give money. Kosti Hinn grew up on the inside of the prosperity gospel movement. His uncle is world-renowned prosperity preacher Benny Hinn. Kosti saw it all, the manipulation, staged healings, luxuriant lifestyles, and perversion of scripture, before God opened Kosti's eyes to understand sound doctrine and believe in the true gospel. Now a pastor, Kosti has written an important book entitled God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel, which chronicles his own experience and gracefully points the reader to the truth of Scripture. For a limited time, you can order this 224-page softcover book for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $17.99 without shipping. To order, call 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
should female preachers, quote, go home? That is a topic we are discussing today here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton. Our website is thechristianworldview.org. And we're glad you joined us on this important topic. And it's an important topic because things are changing within the evangelical church here in America. No doubt it'll be exported worldwide, where the historical interpretation of Scripture that men are to be leaders, heads in the home and the church, they're to be the preachers and pastors and elders, that's being challenged now. And one of the people challenging that is Beth Moore. I think she's trying to toe the line, walk the line, balance the line a little bit. She doesn't come out and just say, you know, we're trying to break down the gates. But in her actions and her words, that's sort of what's happening to a certain degree. And so recently I mentioned at this Truth Matters conference, which is a conference that Grace to You, John MacArthur's radio ministry, puts on, I believe, every other year in October. So this was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. In California at Grace Community Church, there was a Q&A during the conference. And on the Q&A, you're going to play the audio here in a second. So let me set it up for you. John MacArthur was there. Phil Johnson, who's the executive director of Grace to You, has been a guest on this program before, was there. And Michael Riccardi, who's one of the younger pastors at Grace Community Church. And the interviewer was Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and the television program. And so Todd is the one asking the questions, and the first question he asked was about a word association. Do a word association with some of these things I'm going to say to you. And the first one he asked about was Beth Moore. So let's get to this. A word association, you say a word or a person's name and, you know, give a very short, you know, one-word answer and what you think about when you think of this particular word or person. So with that as context, here's how it goes. Now, I have 6 minutes of audio. I basically just kept in the audio, all of what John MacArthur said, because as a result of this, there's just been a gigantic furor all over the internet and everywhere about what he said and so forth. But I'm going to play the whole audio, not just the kind of the go home part that gets all the attention. I want to give you the full context of what took place in that Q&A. Here's the Truth Matters conference, Todd Friel asking a question of John MacArthur about Beth Moore.
I will say a word, and then the three of you need to give a pithy response to the word. Are you ready?
I feel like I'm being set up.
We're going to start out. This is just kind of touching your toes. Easy setup for you. Let's begin with an easy one. The word is Beth Moore.
How many words do I get?
You know, actually, and before you answer this, please think carefully this time, because last time you did a one-word association, the guy wrote a book about it, and we don't want that.
I was thinking of the same word.
Okay.
Let me just break in here for a second. I actually do not like this kind of question. Like, you answer yes or no, or do a one-word association. If you're ever interviewed, I don't think you should ever agree to answering a question in one or two words. In other words, the interviewer is putting a constraint, a parameter on you on how you have to answer, and that may not give you enough context. So that just as a little aside there, but I'd never like sort of a word association, or you see this in political television a lot on TV. Yeah, tell me yes or no. Is Trump an evil tyrant? You know, there needs to be more context given to an interviewee than just a word or two. Continuing.
Go home.
Well, I see we're warmed up. I dilly-dally.
There's no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion.
So let me see if I can get a clarification on that. Got one.
I would just add one thing. Just because you have the skill to sell jewelry on the TV sales channel doesn't mean you should be preaching. There are people who have certain hawking skills, natural abilities to sell. They have energy and personality and all of that, that doesn't qualify you to preach.
We've done this a number of times, and I've asked you a number of questions on pretty broad-ranging issues. I'm perceiving this is actually troubling you.
Profoundly troubles me because I think the church is caving in to women preachers. Just the other day, the same thing happened with Paula White. A whole bunch of leading evangelicals endorsed her new book. She's a heretic and a prosperity preacher, three times married. And what are they thinking? Is the culture reclaiming ground in the church? When the leaders of evangelicalism roll over for women preachers, the feminists have really won the battle. The primary effort in feminism is not equality. It's not, they don't want equality. That's why 99% of plumbers are men. They don't want equal power to be a plumber. They want to be senators, preachers, congressmen, president, the power structure in a university. They want power, not equality. And this is the highest location they can ascend to that power in the evangelical church and overturn what is clearly scriptural. So I think this is feminism gone to church. This is why we can't let the culture exegete the Bible. And I need to add a footnote. When the Southern Baptists met in June and they passed Resolution 9 and they said intersectionality and critical theory are useful tools in interpreting the Bible, that was a watershed moment for that entire movement. Because if the culture has the right to interpret the Bible, they will interpret the Bible and liberalism will take over. This is an evidence that they are allowing the culture to interpret the scripture. A couple weeks after that, there was a panel discussion of Southern Baptist leaders who said there should never be another translation committee without a Latino, an African American, and a woman on it. Translation of the Bible? How about somebody who knows Greek and Hebrew? So, I mean, this is not a minor issue. When you literally overturn the clear teaching of Scripture to empower people who want power, you have given up biblical authority. This is not a small issue.
People would say, no, that it's not our intention specifically after the convention of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is not about egalitarianism. This is maybe perhaps a soft complementarianism. First of all, is there such a thing as soft complementarianism?
Well, I don't know about terms. I just know women are not allowed to preach.
All right. Do you think that that is the direction that the SBC is headed in?
Oh, it's more than the direction. It was a plunge headlong. But it's not just that. You can see it in other things that they're tolerant of. I guess in some ways it was remarkable they lasted as long as they did when all the other denominations have been gone 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And they held on to inerrancy and they held on to a legitimate hermeneutic. But when you decide that the culture can interpret the scripture and you need cultural cues to translate the Bible, the horse is out of the barn.
Do you believe that on that issue, it is, can the horse be returned at the barn?
It's not likely because that is the result of a democratic decision. They voted on that, right? And the majority voted that external cultural cues are useful tools in interpreting the Bible. That's the fruit of inadequate teaching at a core level, at a foundational level.
Okay. That is the entire audio of that particular question and answer session at the Truth Matters Conference. Now, the first two words that MacArthur said, the word association, by him saying, go home, that got all the attention. I don't think too many other people went through and listened to the whole thing and got the context for what John MacArthur said about women preaching to men, what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention with regard to interpreting scripture and some of these other issues. Now, the response to this was just vehement. some of the very most notable names within evangelicalism tweeted out right away. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Pastor J.D. Greer, said, "Dear Beth Moore, you are welcome in our home anytime." Lauren Chandler, the wife of Matt Chandler, Pastor Matt Chandler, said, "When I heard the words Beth Moore, I think good and faithful servant." Pastor Brandon Cox, the host, says, "Beth Moore and a man who is supposed to be a model of biblical manhood and spiritual leadership responds, go home in a room full of men, laugh." This was not a room full of men. This was a mixed audience of men and women. And by the way, you notice that John MacArthur never laughed. Other people were laughing. The room may have been laughing. He wasn't laughing, to the point that Todd Friel said to him, you take this really seriously, don't you? He absolutely does take it very seriously. He knows how critical this particular issue is. Kyle Howard, I think he's associated somehow with the Southern Baptist Convention or one of the Southern seminaries. He said, "I've lost all respect beyond Imago Dei for John MacArthur, Todd Friel, and Phil Johnson. To hear them mock, degrade, and publicly slander a sister in Christ like this is wicked. To hear a crowd of pastors laugh," this wasn't a crowd of pastors, "is disgusting. This is utterly, this is sad, unbiblical. It's the fruit of arrogance." Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, "You're a class act, Beth Moore. You are a faithful witness of how to be clay in the potter's hand. Proud to be in the same road home with you." And Max Lucado, "God bless you, Beth." We'll come back in our final segment of the day with some summary comments on what this all means and why John MacArthur sees it as so important. You're listening to the Christian Worldview.
Environmental scaremongering is the favored tactic of the left to gain massive government control. After all, if you can convince people that we are imperiling our very existence by human-caused climate change, there is no tax, law, or reordering of society that goes too far. Christians need to be fully informed of this nefarious climate change scheme. That is why we are offering two resources by Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, who brings a truthful, biblical worldview to this issue. Climate Change in the Christian is an 80-minute DVD message, and The Cosmic Consequences of Christ's Crosswork is a 15-page booklet. One or both are available for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Okay, final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview as we discuss should female preachers, quote, go home, as John MacArthur said in, when asked to do a word association game with Beth Moore, female preacher, very popular amongst women for sure, but now starting to preach to men and so forth. Well, if you listen to that audio in the last segment, I'm not going to play it again. It's 6 minutes long. You can hear it on our rebroadcast or you can hear it on our website when we get the program posted there at thechristianworldview.org. I'd encourage you to listen to it, by the way. Don't just read articles on the internet and read one word and then be outraged about it. Listen to the context of what was being said there. We actually have the video, the audio linked in the preview for today's program if you want to hear it again. But hearing what MacArthur said after go home, it's very clear that the most important, MacArthur says this all the time, the most important thing in life to MacArthur, and this is even beyond his family or anything, is that hearing is accurately handling the truth of the word of God. That is the most important thing. He'll say that to him. The most important thing is the truth of the word of God. Therefore, you have to understand how a pastor like John MacArthur views Beth Moore. So he sees her as subverting, undermining God's roles that he had put right in scripture for the sexes in the church and in the home, that she's leading other women to do the same. She's claiming direct revelation from God. God told me this and that. She's compromising on the issue of homosexuality. That's how a pastor like MacArthur, who's been a pastor for 50 years, sees Beth Moore. This is not necessarily a personal issue. You didn't hear him say anything negative about her personally. It's all based on what her actions, her policies are, so to speak, to use a political term. And MacArthur sees it as extremely serious, these things. He wasn't the one laughing. He was the one who was gravely saying very strong things about this. To MacArthur, he views Beth Moore as an influential yet errant teacher who needs to be reproved. And he's the kind of person that cares very much about what Scripture says and very little about what people think. I would be super surprised if he, came out with some clarification on this or apology, but he's like, no, this is what the Bible says. And she's doing the wrong thing, and she's claiming to be a Christian. She should go home. I mean, I think he'll probably double down on it. He holds to what it says in Romans 3:4, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. As it is written, that you, God, may be justified in your words and prevail when you judged. So that is, I believe, I mean, I don't, can't read MacArthur's mind, but I'm just from listening to him and over the years, that's what I think that he's probably the place he's coming from. Now, much of the criticism has been over the tone of what he said. Boy, go home to a Christian woman. Beth Moore has been teaching the Bible to women for years. Go home. I received an email from a listener. I hope what is addressed in the program is that many of us don't differ with MacArthur on what the Bible says, but are shocked at how the men on the podium and at the conference came across. Again, this wasn't a male conference. This was a mixed audience, a Grace to You listening audience. The Shepherd's Conference in the spring is a pastor's conference of men. This is a mixed audience. We all have feet of clay, and our leaders are held to an even higher standard. The unbelieving world is always watching. So this emailer is saying that, look, we don't disagree with MacArthur on this issue, but the tone of what he said, go home, that's too harsh. Again, notice that MacArthur, he wasn't mocking or laughing here. This Todd Friel said, this is a serious issue to you. And he's like, yeah, this is a serious issue. Again, he thinks this is subversive, what's taking place to God's word and leading the church into error. And it's the same kind of direct, strong rebuke that Jesus and the scriptures writers use. I mean, this is something that's been impressed upon me the last couple of years as you read scriptures, how strong the language is that scripture writers use. This would not go today in modern evangelicalism, where the greatest virtue in evangelicalism today is to be nice, to be kind. That's the greatest virtue. It's a big emphasis on our tone and our niceness, and less emphasis actually on the truth of the word of God. But look at what Jesus said. Look how Jesus spoke to his own disciple, Peter. Listen to the tone of what Jesus says to his leading disciple, Peter. In John 16:23, after Christ said to him that, to the disciples, I must, he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the religious leaders and be killed and be raised on the third day. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine that, Peter rebuking the Lord, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this will never happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter, and now Peter's going to get a rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man. Or consider the rebuke that Stephen gave to the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees. He called them, you men are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears and always resisting the Holy Spirit. These people were held in high esteem in that day. And yet Stephen said, they're not on base scripturally or with God's word. They need to be rebuked. Jesus did the same thing in Revelation 3 with the church in Laodicea. Again, professing Christians, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And Jesus said, then concludes by saying, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. What I see here with MacArthur is that this was a rebuke, a reproving of Beth Moore for taking the position she's taking. And as a pastor who's been in ministry, who holds high the word of truth to the highest degree, it's the most important thing to him. This is in his mind, not just sort of, oh, should I say this? This in his mind is needed to be said, because not only Beth Moore, but all the people she influences. He did nothing to say about Beth Moore's giftedness. I'm sure he would say she's a gifted communicator. She had nothing to say about her as a person. She may be a nice person. He had nothing to say about her, the value between men and women. They're exactly the same value in God's eyes. This, to MacArthur, is about contending for the faith. He sees error. It needs to be pointed out and dealt with, because everyone else, most everyone else, will get caught up in the go-home part of it, but won't get into the actual truth of what he's saying, the context of why she should, quote, go home. So if someone like MacArthur, who is 80 years old, has been preaching God's word for 50 years and has his kind of view of scripture, said something to me like go home, it would give me real pause for self-reflection. It's not to say he can never be wrong or say something sinful. He would be the first to admit that. But I would certainly be examining myself from someone who has been very faithful to preaching God's word. You know, we do live in a changing and challenging world. This is a big issue that is changing within evangelicalism. You know what? Time will tell with Beth Moore. In the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see whether she stays where she is or she moves. But there is one thing we can always look to and count on. Jesus Christ and his word, they're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, his word, and his son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.